I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Hallie Labonte. Thanks for joining us today while we are giving our mega church a tiny family feel by introducing you to members of our church staff and community. What a treat and a treasure. Oh, my friends, I'm so glad you're joining us today. Well, just like Acts 20 tells us about the time that the Apostle Paul was preaching good news of the gospel one night when some dude just nodded off during his message and accidentally fell out the window and died before Paul calmly walked down the stairs and raised him back to life. It's right there in the Bible, brought back to life. You're going to come back to life when you hear the voice of my co-host. Please give it up for Gray Haas, everybody.
Hey, Hallie, how are you doing? I'm so happy to be here.
I'm too blessed to be stressed, my brother. How are you?
Hallie, I'm absolutely buzzing. We had just an amazing positive experience with my Climax kids this week, and I can't wait to tell you about it.
Ooh, what happened?
Well, Hallie, have you ever heard of an escape room?
Oh, yeah.
Now, escape rooms are really popular around Indianapolis. I think we have about 70 now. It just seems like that's the rage. And I started thinking, hey, how could we do a Christian escape room?
Wow.
And it was so cool because what we did is we got a bunch of kids, me and a couple of the seniors, we designed these rooms down in the gym. We put up some false walls, etc. And we thought, hey, what are puzzles that we can solve to get out of these rooms? So what we did, you know, the kids come in and maybe there's a clue. About a Bible verse that you have to try to figure out.
That's cool.
We'll give you some context clues and you have to name the verse, or maybe there'll be some verse numbers and you have to try to recite the verse, and that will unlock the next part of the puzzle.
That's so neat.
It was so cool. We had a Lazarus room, which Ooh. Was really cool. We had one of the kids be in a coffin.
Ooh.
And then if you solve the puzzle, the kid popped out of the coffin and said, hey, I'm back, you know.
Oh,
that was cool. And then we had a Zacchaeus puzzle where you had to get a guy out of a tree.
Did you get a little guy?
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure if he's actually a little guy. He's the smallest guy in Climax. I don't want to name names, but his name is Chasten Lefray.
Oh, yeah. I know him. He is. He's real tiny, isn't he?
He is, yeah. And I think it's just he's, you know, everything's in proportion. He's just a slight person. And then we had other rooms. Gosh, well, you know, the really fun room was a Bathsheba room.
Ooh.
So that was a little steamy.
Oh,
and
my.
We had to kind of solve a puzzle to make sure somebody didn't come out of a bathtub.
Oh, that's so neat. Who right. did you have be Bathsheba?
You know, I had one of the guys do it because I just didn't want the, you know. So
I was going to say I would have guessed it would have been Jessica Sinclair. She's so pretty.
Yeah, Jess is really pretty, but we didn't have her because I just didn't want, you know, the kids' minds to go
yeah,
to that
Yeah, you don't
place.
Want any of your Climax kids falling into lust, right?
Right. And then, you know, the final room, no one could solve.
What?
It was really awesome. And we did sort of a Last Supper theme. You had to organize who was sitting next to Jesus by the end of the Last Supper before the Romans came in.
Oh, that's so cool.
And, you know, Hallie, it was really difficult because, you know, a lot of the kids can't really remember any of the apostles' names after, you know, Andrew. So, you know, some people I'm like, hey, there's a guy named Philip. And they're like, really? You know, and I'm like, yeah, he was one of the disciples. Yeah. The kids can't remember them. Mm. They can only remember sort of the top three.
Yeah, it's because they're on their phones all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I said, hey, you know, you can look up the names on your phones.
That's true.
They didn't even think about why. I made them all go airplane mode just so they couldn't cheat. But I said,
that's
hey,
cool.
The next time you're thinking of an apostle, maybe you look on your phone and see a name that you've not learned before.
So
we had a great weekend. yeah, a Christian escape room. How was your weekend, Hal?
Oh, well, from time to time, you know, we do movie nights in the gymnasium. And this week's was so inspiring. We screened the movie Noah starring Russell Crowe. Have
awesome.
You seen it?
You know, I haven't gotten to see it, but I'm a huge Russell Crowe fan.
Oh, it was so good. And a few people pointed out they were kind of confused because the movie had these giant rock monsters in it.
Really?
And it was like, is that some kind of Hollywood nonsense where they're just adding stuff to the Bible? But afterwards, Steve gave this great little talk back, and it turned out that those weren't entirely without basis in Scripture.
Really?
Isn't that so interesting? Because the Bible says, Genesis 6, 1-4 says, when man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were attractive, and they took as their wives any they choose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days. And when the sons of God came into the daughters of man, they bore children.
Okay.
And the Bible says these were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. So anyway, Steve was like, okay, so who are the sons of God and who are the daughters of men? And are the sons of God angels? And are they making their children angel human crossbreeds? Or are they descendants of the righteous son of Adam and Eve named Seth? Remember Seth?
Oh, of course.
And then Steve said, you know, the word Nephilim means giants.
Oh.
And he was like, well, who are they? Are they the children of the sons of God and the daughters of men or something else like that? And who are the mighty men of old, the men of renown? Are they the people who inspired ancient myths like found in other cultures like Greek myths and stuff that aren't true, even though the Bible's true? You know, it's funny because you see giants in the Lord of the Rings and the Game of Thrones, don't you?
Yeah.
They absolutely. Have giants. And Steve mentioned that those ones are total fiction, but when they're in the Bible, they're fact.
That's really cool because I think sometimes, you know, even my kids, they're going, hey, the Bible's a bit boring. And I'm saying, actually, if you read a bit closer, we've got rock giants.
Yeah. And we have angels breeding with people and giants and sons of gods coming into the daughters of man. Isn't that so neat? The Bible's better than HBO, isn't it?
That is fantastic.
It's so cool. I feel like we're definitely too blessed to be stressed, which means it's time to move on to too anointed to be disappointed. Just like Pharaoh's daughter found a baby in a basket that stole her heart, we've found the perfect guest to steal your heart. Please welcome Ryan Lusky, everybody.
Hi. Yeah, hi.
Hi, Ryan.
Right into this, right?
That's right.
All right.
Nice to see you.
Wow. It's so fun to do a radio show.
That's right.
Yeah,
so fun.
Right?
Well, now, Ryan, you are carrying something that I believe is going to tell us a little bit about the ministry that you've started. What is that in your hand?
Yeah, and given that we're doing a radio program, right,
or
whatever it is,
it's similar.
I do have to explain it. I can't because
that's
so
right.
It is a racket.
Okay.
Okay. But now I don't want you to think it's a tennis racket.
Okay.
Or that I'm trying to swindle you. Do you understand?
Okay.
Like a racket?
Really.
Oh,
okay.
What is this
good.
Racket?
Yes. Yes. No.
Did you plan that when you came in?
I did.
Do you say it every time?
I do. Yeah, I do.
That's good, though.
I thank you. I'm sort of getting feedback. I'm kind of, because let me cut to the chase here. It is a badminton racket.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people would be like, what did you just say? What is badminton?
Right.
Uh-huh. Right. Uh-huh. Unless you know what it is, in which case you would not say that sentence. But if you don't know what it is, badminton is a racket-based sport.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm going to take a second here because I realize that that doesn't explain anything because I just said it's a racket, right?
Right.
And it's not. I'm not trying to swindle you.
Okay.
Here we go.
This is so cool.
Watching a stand-up work their material.
Thank you so much.
Comics have to work the material,
They really do.
Yeah.
In any instance, it doesn't matter where I am. I don't care if they are in a hurry at the bank, I will try my stuff out.
That's okay.
That is great.
And a lot of times it's hard to shove that context into that situation. Yeah, because a lot of times it doesn't fit at all. But the thing about badminton is it is a racket sport. And what it is it's almost like tennis, but we're not playing with a ball.
Oh.
We're playing with what we call a birdie,
okay,
or a shuttlecock.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, no, those are two very different images. Yeah. I imagine come in your head. One is like a small innocent animal,
right.
And the other one is like a space penis or something. I don't know, but they're very different, but they're the same thing. And what it is, it's like a small little rubber ball that's attached to some birdie feathers, like literally they can be from a goose.
Oh.
Wow. Uh-huh.
But we play with plastic that plays in kind of cone shape. So you hit it back and forth, you get points, you have a great time. And with my program here at the church, you learn about Christ through the process.
That is awesome.
There's never a time, I feel like, in your life that you can't be integrating, bringing in the Word of God into your life.
Isn't that right?
It's so true.
Yeah. It's relevant in any scenario.
It really is.
And we can really feel the love of God no matter what activity we're engaged in.
It's so true.
Now, I got to ask you a quick question before we leave this terminology that I find so fascinating.
Okay, go ahead.
So the origin of the words, maybe birdie came because there were feathers.
Uh-huh.
Now, what do you think the origin of shuttlecock was? And until you said the space program thing, I never even realized that like a space shuttle really does kind of look like a
Well, I do want to clarify. Space penis. So, but... I mean, is that okay? I mean, I'm...
Well, I guess that's the technical term. It's not dirty, right?
I'm just putting it in terms of like... otherwise, you're completely lost as to what that would be.
That's right.
It's not as... I mean, I know a cock is like a chicken, a
that's
male
right.
chicken.
That's
but
right.
There's no similarity there.
Yeah.
So what we have here is it's a... I imagine the shuttle comes from the launching effect.
Mm. Okay.
You hit the birdie against the... Or shuttlecock against the racket, mm-hmm. and it shuttles back over to the other player.
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know about the cock part, you know?
Is it shaped like a... What, do you have one here?
I do.
Oh wow, that's cool.
Now look
looking.
At that, huh? You can hold it?
Oh, so this one's plastic?
This one is plastic.
With a little red nub.
You're fast, yeah. Yeah, you can tell. And
cool.
Hold on, I've got one that actually has feather birdies. Now
Whoa. See,
that's a difference.
This
one goes much faster.
Now the tip of this one seems like it's made of a different material. Is this a more antique shuttlecock?
Yeah, this one is old, and if you hit it, it would fall apart.
Oh, okay.
So I don't... this is more for like display.
Okay.
You know, if I am at the bank and I sort of start my thing, I pull this out.
So the tip on this one is made of like, what is this, clay or?
No, it is very old rubber.
Okay.
That's the effect that sunlight has on old rubber.
See.
It dries it out. So this is such an important thing in my life. And I am, to be able to present it to people is a true blessing for me.
Well, you're going to reach so many people. I bet people are going to start signing up left and right.
Well, you know what? That's the initiative right now because I'm starting a team here, a league, and we're calling it the Goodmintons. Because I felt like the badminton was like, ooh, this is a sin-based sport. I don't want to be part of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm calling it Goodminton and then having to explain that it's actually badminton. And then they're like, well, is it bad? And I'm like, no, it's good. I'm calling it good because I don't want it to seem bad, but it's good. And so a lot of times there's some confusion.
And are you having a lot of interest?
Huh?
How many people do you have so far showing up at the gym?
Okay. Yeah. Right now, we've had a couple kids drop by.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I do remember there was a young man, very short young man, Chastin, yes.
Right, he would not be good
no,
at it.
No, he
probably.
Was, I cut to the quick and I just said, you are not physically equipped
He's
to
just
be.
Too small.
Yeah, right. You are about the size of this racket.
Yeah.
Mm.
You will just be a complete right angle
if
you play with
this. Yeah, him being out
this.
There would be a racket, right?
Pardon me?
I don't know. You know what's funny about a cock being called
shuttlecock
or the chicken? You know what's funny about a male chicken being called a cock is that they actually don't have a phallus. All they do to mate is they line up their holes.
Really, Hallie?
They line up their holes?
Yeah.
Their buttock holes? Or
They just have these holes in their body, and the man puts his hole up to the female hole.
And it creates a suction, and she creates a... It's like two plungers being shoved together, and then they just suck.
I'm trying to say. Well, my best friend, Becky Peacock, she got chickens to make eggs.
Becky Peacock?
Do you know Becky?
No, but her last name is similar. It would make sense that she would know about the anatomy of a bird.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So she has chickens, and I thought that was the weirdest thing in the whole world. And she was like, we're going to eat their eggs and everything. And I said, well, what are you going to do with them in the wintertime?
Right.
And then she hasn't had them in the winter yet. But anyway, she had a rooster that kept keeping everybody up at all hours.
A cock.
She had a cock.
Okay.
And I said, what is he? Do you ever see him jumping up mountain? Because I get upset when I see animals mating.
I know. I get upset just the idea of it.
Yeah. Because it makes me feel that weird that we do it too and they do it. And if they're doing it, if animals do it, and then we do it.
What are some ways that you talk about Jesus when you're playing badminton?
Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Okay. I want to be clear. When we're playing, I'll launch the shuttlecock over to the opposing player, and he's not opposing me. We're engaging because we're one in Christ, but he is also my opponent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So again, I usually have to stop and explain that. I'm gonna shoot this to you, and you're gonna return it, and hopefully, I'm gonna get a point off of you. But I don't want you to think that I am against you. We are together in this experience, of experiencing Christ through playing good minton.
But I do want to win. And you're saying that every time you serve?
Yeah.
Right. So these games must last a while.
They do. We usually play to three.
Okay.
We'll get as far as 3 points. But what we're finding is that exerting our physical talents is really referencing what Christ went through when he sacrificed his body to us. Mm-hmm. So when I start to show a little bit of sweat, I'm like, wow, this is a lot like the blood of Christ that was spilled when he was put up on, you know, the cross for you. Yeah. And, you know, oh, my underwear is getting so damp from all the moisture from my sweat. I bet Christ might have dampened himself when he went through unbelievable pain from being nailed to a cross for the sins of all of us.
And it's hot in the Middle East.
Yeah, and it's hot in the Middle East.
And I love when you can just draw these powerful metaphors out of a game that most people think of, hey, we're just going to go in the backyard with a floppy net and sort of swing and miss a lot.
Yeah.
But you're using this game as a powerful teaching tool.
Yeah.
Which I love.
And I like that you pronounce the N.
Badminton? I mean, goodminton. Like,
Yeah. I've only heard people be like, badminton.
No.
You say it right.
Yeah, you don't want to swallow that N because every letter is like every letter in the Bible. If you were to read a verse in the Bible and you were to leave out all the N's, you would be like, this is crazy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He died for our sigh. See? What does that mean? That would be sin. You need that in.
That's right.
At the end there.
That's right.
Do this in remembrance of me. Do this.
Is this from the Bible?
Of me.
I'm sorry.
You know what else is biblical?
Yeah.
A cock.
Okay, which one? Which kind? So you've said cock a lot thus far, and each time my head jumps around between like, I was talking about that body part or the chicken or, you know, which one?
That's why I'm reflecting that I think maybe we should talk about how a cock is very, very biblical.
Yeah.
And it's also an example of how God can use anything, can he?
Okay.
Because speaking of the crucifixion, you know, Jesus said before the cock crows three times, you will have denied me to Peter.
Did he? That's, you know what? Someone mentioned that to me. And I was like, I should use that. Now tell me that phrase again. What's that phrase again? Before I'm sorry to be so close to your face, but what is that? What is that phrase again?
Oh, you smell good. Is that Polo or Dracar?
I don't know.
You smell good.
I don't know.
Well, that must be, I love the smell of mints.
I go to the dollar store a lot. So I just got this big jug. There's something that had like a guy jumping into a bucket. And I was like, this looks fun. But what is
Before the cock crows three times, you will deny me.
Before I serve this shuttlecock three times, I will deny you the points that you need to win, even though we're not in opposition, but I do want to win.
The teaching is so clean, and it's so easy. It's so easy to comprehend.
It really does. This is almost the most perfect vehicle for proselytizing.
It's an amazing modern comparison that you can just, you can work it in so easily.
And you know what? The other thing about Goodminton is that I cannot believe I will encounter anyone who will say, oh, that seems like a sissy sport, or that seems wimpy, or isn't that for, you know, blankety blanks or whatever language they want to use.
Sure.
I feel like that I could go into the roughest, most downtrodden environment, you know, and say, look, I know that maybe both of your parents are addicted to drugs. Oh. And maybe that you have gone through some really hard times. But if you and I go to a gym and set up a net in the middle of the basketball court and have 45 minutes before the aerobics class comes in to encounter Christ and play some Goodminton, I can change everything in your life.
Have you done that? Have you gone into those communities?
I've driven through them, mm-hmm. and I cracked my window at one point, and I tried to talk to a gentleman. Mm-hmm. He reached in very quickly and somehow got a hold of my upper lip and pulled so hard.
Oh,
his excitement in someone talking to him, maybe, I don't know what, I don't want to judge, yep. you know, he's going through some okay. stuff,
yep. yeah.
but I wasn't able to get out the words I needed because I couldn't connect, you know, right. and you can't,
sure.
you know, imagine someone who had lost an upper lip trying to talk. It right. was sort of like that.
So you lost the lip?
No, I didn't lose the lip, but okay. it was like that. Right. That's similar.
How did you get first interested in badminton or Goodminton, as I now will call it?
Oh, you should. You should, because I'm trying to trademark it. I joined my local YMCA.
Oh.
And I gave squash a shot. Do you know about squash? Another racket-based
what
game.
What is squash? No.
Squash is not a vegetable, but it is.
Well, sure. Yeah.
And it is not something that you would do to mash something down.
Or a bug.
No, a squash would not be a bug. Is that your point?
Well, if I squashed a bug.
Sorry, Hallie.
Right, but that's a verb.
I think he was doing one of his...
He's working material.
Yeah, I think he was setting up one of his jokes.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's a racket.
I'm sorry. What does that mean?
I was just trying to repeat the joke that you said before.
That's not my joke.
That's a racket?
When I say that's a racket, I'm implying that I'm not trying to swindle you.
Oh, right. I guess I was saying like, oh, that's a racket that we don't get to hear a joke.
I don't know if that's how that works, though.
I don't think that's how that works.
Oh, right.
I like the word swindle, though.
Sometimes I don't really get jokes.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, when you don't want to mess with
comedy's stuff. Hard.
Yeah. It is so
and
hard.
And it really messes people up. They all get into comedy and then they kill themselves like Robin Williams.
It is
and all
a very, it's a passive aggressive form of expression.
They're deeply unhappy people, aren't
they? It's a way to keep yourself safe and not engage and really make a connection with people, except for when I do it, because when I do it, it is reaching people and changing lives.
Exactly.
So there's a big difference.
You're in the, what were you saying? You're in the sauna at the YMCA.
No, I never mentioned anything about the sauna.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
I was just at the YMCA.
Oh, great.
YMCA. Doing, okay.
Which is the Young Men's Christian Association.
And absolutely.
Isn't that so cool?
Yeah. That was one of the reasons I went in there. I was like, young men? I mean, sorry, Christ?
That's right.
And so,
that's
you know, right. that was.
Right. And that's so cool.
That was the thing that was cool.
And you're playing squash.
Yeah. And so I took a stab at playing squash. So what is squash? Squash is, okay, it's not a vegetable. It is not an action you do to a bug to squash it.
That's a racket.
Again, I don't want this to be awkward. So I think it's best if you just leave that out of it.
Let me know if you've seen opportunity to do it. Then I can maybe chime in.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I really can't see an opportunity coming up.
So you're playing squash.
Right. Great. Okay. So we're playing squash and I'm not good at it because you hit the ball and it bounces against the wall and it goes behind you and it goes all over. And in doing it, I was like, I feel lost. I feel like I don't have a direction and a focus.
Oh.
And it hit me in such a way of like, I don't feel Christ in this sport.
Mm.
And I don't know what it was, but I fell on my knees and I started to sob.
On the squash court.
And that poor gentleman that I didn't know that I was playing a pickup game with had to deal with that.
Ugh.
And I grabbed him and I pulled him down with me and he thought I was wrestling him and I wasn't wrestling him. I was just weeping. And then we rolled around for much longer than you might expect, given that situation. And I don't know if it's because neither one of us were strong enough to get away from the other one. I don't know exactly what happened. But when I woke up in the lobby with some security around me, I was ready to say, okay, I don't want to do that sport. Because that sport is not
that makes sense.
Where I can connect with my God.
You know, and I think I can say this here.
Okay.
Which is, what a racket.
Okay. I knew that was...
I feel like, walking through the valley of the shadow of death on that squash
court.
Thank
you for bringing it back to the point I was trying to make with that story.
Is it a racquetball court? Are you in a...
Yeah. It's like a big... It's like... it's what... I imagine a big Soho loft is like without windows or furniture or a DJ stand. You know, it's just kind of an empty loft-like environment. And I don't know. It was like being in solitary confinement.
Wow.
I really had some kind of... Some people said I might have overreacted to what was going on, but they don't have the same connections that I have to Christ.
That's right. And you were having a spiritual awakening.
I was. I had not eaten that morning. I was having really low blood sugar as well.
Yeah.
And I have pretty bad panic attacks.
Oh.
Yeah. And shoes I had, I have a broken toe. So my toe box doesn't, if I don't have wiggle room for my toe box, I'm not happy. It is not good. And I start to think about that. And then next thing you know.
You know what? I'm going to put your anxiety attacks and your toe box on my prayer list.
Well, thank you.
You know, it actually reminds me of the story, Ryan, of Jacob when he wrestled with the angel.
Oh.
Yeah. Why did he do that?
You know, I don't think even he knew, but at the end, you know, he got blessed and his hip went out of joint.
I know about that. That was the biggest takeaway I got from that story. Right. Him wrestling. That was like,
just like your toe went out of joint.
Yeah.
And
I kicked a wall. I kicked a wall when someone broke in my car. I was like so darn frustrated.
Oh, that was separate from the wrestling.
Yeah, but it felt like I was like, did the devil break into my car? No, but it felt like that. It really did.
And by the end, Jacob got a new name, Israel, and he was blessed.
And he was named after the country?
Yes, that's right.
That is so interesting.
Now, Ryan, I do have to tell you, I've never seen you sitting down for this long because I always see you out there in your spandex shorts, setting up the nets. You're always walking
moving around.
You might be one of the most physically fit people I've ever seen.
Yeah, I got a lot of nervous energy that I got to burn off.
I think it's great how you take care of your temple.
Well, I think my temple's full of the spirit. That's and right. So it's like I got to get it out. But it's been that part. And it's good to find something that I can... Put that energy into. I will be honest. I really would like a little bit more, more fellowship. A little some people coming around. Maybe some of your climate control kids could come around.
That'd be awesome.
Be good for them, especially if some of them need activity. Some of them get so lethargic with their phones they need to move around.
Well, we have a no phone policy.
Oh, that's great.
That's for sure. I put them in. I hide them.
Yeah.
You know.
Were you allowed back in the sauna after the wrestling experience?
Again, I was not in the sauna.
Oh,
at any
that
point.
Wasn't in the sauna.
No, it doesn't. I don't even know if they have a sauna.
I thought you
there.
Said a blank room.
That's what the squash room is.
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just keep thinking it was a sauna.
Nope.
Now,
no,
do you
I don't
always
really think
wear the? Do you every day? Do you wear the spandex shorts and the spandex tie? You almost look like one of those guys, the bike riders who do the speed racing. Do you?
What I'm wearing is not. Traditional badminton outfits.
Oh, really?
No.
You just want to be more aerodynamic on the court?
Yeah. Oh. And I like to buy things in bulk. So I bought a 45 pack of these. And I was like, well, I got 45 of them. And
I think you look great.
Thank you so much.
And it's kind of interesting because I actually didn't know the shorts were spandex because they actually don't hug the leg.
I have no muscle tone in my upper legs. My calves are big, as you can see
calves
here.
Gorgeous calves.
But then I become like two little sort of like twigs and stuff.
Right. And is that because badminton, you're using the calves a lot and you're not really using the upper leg?
I don't know. I might have some kind of like degenerative disease thing, but I choose to say, okay, what is your will? your will is for me not to have these traditional legs.
Right.
If it's not a traditional leg, then what am I walking the path on?
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking a path on a new version of me.
Mm-hmm. And you're using a short that sort of accentuates the gift of the unusual leg, which
or shorts that I got in bulk. And I was like, well, I've already spent $200 on 45 pairs of these spandex. Right. So I got to wear them.
And the white, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, because it is hard to keep clean. You notice sweats and other stains much more readily.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure they're always clean.
Yeah.
So.
You know what? I don't think we need to focus on how I dress or why I dress this way. Mm. It has nothing to do with.
Yeah. Oh, it has nothing to do with badminton.
No, it's just what I just.
It's just what you like. Are you married?
Huh?
Are you married?
Can't. No, don't. Oh. No, no. I'm not.
Okay.
No.
I like to be a matchmaker. If you ever want to be set up, you let me know. You let me know, Ryan.
I would love to have somebody.
What's your type?
Anybody. I don't want to say I'm not. Yeah. Someone who will talk to me and will sit with me and will read the Bible with me.
Oh.
And
looks like Gray and I are both your type.
Oh.
And do you have any family in the area?
No, my family is there. Most of them are back east.
Okay.
I relocated after I expressed some things to them that they were disapproving of.
Right.
And yeah. So, you know, I thought I'd go to somewhere. Hopefully that maybe had a culture that sort of was more amenable to what I might be interested in, whether that be,
badminton
or the Young Men's
Athletic
Christian Association, like that kind of the young men thing.
So, you got a fresh start.
I did. Yeah. I got a do-over, and it's sometimes your do-over takes 15, 20 years to get started, but you know, that's his will.
That's right.
I have no control.
Right?
I have no control over what happens in my life, and that is okay. Whatever his chosen path for me will be, thy will be done. If I have degenerative muscles in my thighs and I cannot make a human connection with somebody, that is his will, because I am being taught through Goodminton and him.
He's so faithful.
Yeah, it's a racket.
Well, just like Jesus turned a few loaves and fishes into Lollapalooza, we're going to turn to your questions now. It's time for mailbag, everybody. You ready to answer a question from a Twin Hiller, Ryan?
Wow, okay.
Dear Twin Hillers, I often visit my local Starbucks to read my scriptures and do my daily devotional. I enjoy chatting with the employees and even enjoy a free beverage from time to time. Yeah. Well, that's cool. I love when you get something free.
Oh, why would he do that?
Yeah.
Or her.
Sometimes let's see, who is it?
Yeah.
Oh, we don't know. It says caffeinated concerned Christian at the bottom. We'll see. At the end, let's see if we can guess if we think it's a male or
female. Okay.
Okay, here we go. Sometimes during my time there, one of the Starbucks employees will sit next to me and read her tarot cards. And on more than one occasion has asked me if she could read them for me. Can I catch the devil by sitting next to this woman? Any encouragement how to stay strong in my faith? Sincerely, caffeinated concerned Christian. I think this is a fella.
I do too.
And I actually know who they're talking about, because they're talking about the Starbucks that's over on Carlisle Road.
Uh-huh.
And I go there too to have Bible study a lot.
And you've seen tarot.
Yeah, and there is a young woman who is often going around saying, can I do tarot readings? And I will say, Hallie, I said, hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to do a tarot reading for you, because I care about your soul, and I'm going to tarot these cards up.
That's right.
And I tore them up, and she got very upset, because she said
they're expensive. Yeah, they're expensive. They are expensive. Some of them are custom made.
So I'm not allowed to go back to that Starbucks right now, because they said I destroyed property. But I said, you know, it's fine if I destroy someone's property and I keep them out of hell.
That's right.
Yeah. Another tactic you could have done was just to go through and subtly on every single one of the tarot cards, like draw a halo on the characters,
right,
or put them on the cross or something.
Turn it into a Christian thing.
And sometimes it's hard, because some of those there'd be like one exposed breast or something like that.
Yeah,
they'll be like, which is too bad, because I'm not saying necessarily like tarot. You know, maybe they're just nice pictures, but when you've got a woman with an exposed breast for no reason, she's got a sword. You're going, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah,
right. I mean, why? I mean, what's Who wants to look at that?
Yeah, anyway. And you should tell that Starbucks, like, you know what? That image couldn't even be on Instagram. I'll tell you what. What I would say is anytime somebody wants to read your palm, tell you your future, show you these tarot cards, what you need to say is, you know what? It seems to me like you're seeking something.
Okay.
And I could use this opportunity, instead of you making up this fictional nonsense about what these images mean, these kind of obscene images, let's be honest. How about if I pray with you? How about if we sit and pray for a moment? And you can even hold their hands. You can embrace them in a godly hug.
Yeah.
And honestly, maybe that person will turn away from the wickedness of this kind of like false spirituality because they feel seen and touched and held and heard. And then you can just pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to fall on that place. It can happen anywhere. Holy Spirit turns up everywhere.
So true.
In a Starbucks, in a squash court,
And I was going to say another, you know, if you do encounter one of these Wiccan devils who are trying to engage you and sort of like say, oh, I can tell you your future, you know, if you go down this path of evil. You can have them read your palm, have them read your tarot card, do it once, you know, do it twice. Maybe let it go on for a few months where you're sort of spending a lot of time with them and earning their trust.
That's right. You're like undercover.
Yeah, you're kind of becoming part of their life. Maybe go to some of their meetings and, you know, maybe there's a weekend trip you take with them or whatever. But when the time is right, turn the tables on them. And hard, like turn them hard and just say, now we're going to really learn what Christ wants for you.
Absolutely.
Get in there and get in there fast and hard and, you know, take their palm and say, this palm is a sinner's palm. And, you know,
and I think people like that, you know, when you gain the trust and then you come in and you say, actually the opposite.
Yep. Yeah, when you sort of establish a human connection and then you take that human connection and implode it.
Yeah.
Because in that explosion is God's love, like shining. It's like a neutron bomb that sort of that lays waste to everything they believe and understand.
And they're not going to forget that.
And they're going to be so, what they end up being is so sort of like adrift and vulnerable and needing Christ.
Right.
It really is. You have to remove everything that makes sense to them. And everything that has kept them safe and maybe the stability of their life and then replace it with the real stability that they did not need or know that they needed.
That's right. And you got to tell them, you were born with a Jesus-shaped hole in your heart and only he can fill it.
And sometimes you've got to blow that hole in the heart.
You have to cut that hole. You have to take the sort of Wiccan dagger that they might use in their thing and
they
cut their
heart.
Think
they have a hole until you put it there. And then you can say, hey, that hole that I cut is Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And you can then bring them to the donut shop we have here at church where all of the donuts have Jesus shaped holes. And you can have some coffee and donuts together.
Yeah.
And you can take their hand that they wanted to read the lines in and all nonsense.
And
you
force them to
and you
hold
can
the
say,
Bible.
You could say, imagine a stake piercing your hand and going through your hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much Jesus loves you, is that he let them put nails through his hands.
Yeah. And so you need to feel that same pain to understand what he went through. Because if you don't suffer, he didn't suffer for you.
That's right.
I think we really got to the bottom of this one.
And I will say, if that first attempt doesn't work, go back to saying like, I was just kidding. And then kind of go back into the 3-month plan where you're hanging out with them and maybe meet their family at some point and, you know, lend them some money or vice versa. And then really turn the tables, like really just flip that table over.
Ryan Lusky was played by Brian Husky. Watch him on HBO's Veep and Mr. Neighbor's House on AdultSwim.com and follow him on Instagram at TheBrianHusky. I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas is played by Greg Hess. Our incredible producer is Ryan Countshouse. Follow us on your favorite form of social media and send a letter to our mailbag at megathepodcast@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you like the podcast, please support us on Patreon.